football on off the ball.
I think what else is, I trust them. I trust them in the games that people look away a little bit more. I trust them in those games that you should be winning. I think they've nailed that type of a game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Now Di Stefano. There's always tenor when he moves. And it's 7-2. Oh, my goodness.
From the barrios of Buenos Aires to the roaring nights of Madrid, this episode traces the extraordinary journey of Alfredo Di Stefano, the visionary who redefined modern football. Born in Argentina, forged in the breakaway leagues of Colombia with Millonarios, and immortalized in Spain, he became the heartbeat of a dynasty. But what if the man they called La Saeta Rubia had taken a different path and gone to Real Madrid's biggest rivals, Barcelona? Find out on episode 6 of Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors podcast as to how European football could have been changed as we know it. Coming to you this Monday in your OTB football podcast feed for free.
Off the Ball Daily.
Well, folks, you're very welcome along to League of Ireland Late Night here on Off the Ball. I'm Ben Symes. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by the ever-present Shane Keegan. Shane, how are you doing?
Ben, how are you getting on?
I'm very good, Shane. I'm absolutely freezing. Just got back to my car, coming out of an absolutely thrilling game here in Talca Park. I don't know if you got the chance to watch it at home. But my word, what a game of football.
Well, Ben, it was one of those nights where you obviously had two absolute crackers on the same night. So you've got to make a choice which one you're going to give your primary focus to. And let's say you made the right choice, I made the wrong choice. Because, no, I got the underwhelming Shamrock Rovers Derry game, whereas it appears you have got one of the games of the season.
I just finished my match report there when I was leaving. And I think I said twice in it that is potentially already a candidate for game of the season. And not only game of the season, we've seen what is already probably going to be a goal of the season contender as well. Oh, just look, we'll get into it over the course of the next while, but an absolutely superb evening of football here in Talca Park. It literally had everything you could ever want, really, from a football game. Just very quickly before we talk with the games, we're into the results very, very quickly. So in Galway, Dundalk came back. They were leading early on. And then Galway went ahead. Dundalk late. Not as late as we saw here in Drumcondra, but about the 80th minute from Bobby Burns to make it 2-2 there between Galway United and Dundalk. Bohemians, another win for Alan Reynolds' side. 1-0 away to Waterford. Sam Todd-Manu wasn't even named in the starting team originally when the teams were announced about an hour before. Of course, the game I was at just there. Shelburne 2, St. Patrick's Athletic 3. And the other big one of the night, Shamrock Rovers 1, Derry City 0. Results from the First Division, Bray Wanderers 2, Athlone Town 1. The Cork Derby finished 1-1 between Cork City and Cove Ramblers. Finn Harps 1, Wexford 1, Treaty United 2, Kerry 2. Shane, we've a couple of requests already coming in, but do you want to just talk me through maybe first of all what happened in that Shamrock Rovers game? A huge game between two sides who we probably thought were two of the teams going for the title at the start of the year.
Yeah, I suppose the short answer to your question, what happened, would the answer is not a lot. look, reality is here that Shamrock Rovers won this game probably more comfortably than the scoreline suggests and managed to do that without ever coming out of third gear. I mean, this was, you know, we've had concerns about Derry so far this year and them not quite fully clicking. This was a dreadful performance, Ben. I mean, Ed McGinty could have stayed at home for the night and Derry weren't scored. They literally didn't register a shot on target. Rovers, as I say, they were decent in patches. You know, yet again, young Brennan, probably the one who came up with the best moment of the game to earn them the penalty. Jack Byrne back in the starting 11, like, you know, this guy, fully fit, is still the best player in the league. There's no doubt about it. Showed that tonight. So Rovers will be happy with just how comfortable they made it all look. As I say, decent performance without being brilliant, but without needing to be brilliant. But my God, there are some question marks over Derry now, Ben. There really, really are.
Yeah, there was already a few kind of going into this game. We were talking off the ball during the week saying how, you know, those four opening games in Derry, they won't be happy with what they got. I know they got a couple of results, but the performances really haven't been there. By the sounds of it, I'll watch it back over the weekend, but by the sounds of it, there's not a lot to watch back from Derry.
Oh, that's it. Look, as I say, Rovers, you know, they're just kept them at arm's length the whole time. They huffed and puffed a little bit, you know, but as the game went on, you just couldn't see them not eventually getting something from it. I think they might have registered 8 shots on target overall. Okay, I wouldn't say any of them were required outstanding saves, but they just ground it out. They just found a way to find a goal, and little fear had they that they were ever going to concede one at the other end.
Yeah, huge 3 points for Shamrock Rovers then as well, after what has been a poor and difficult couple of weeks for Stephen Bradley's men. If you've any Derry City fans out there who are listening and are making the trip back home, we'd love to hear from you. What has been a really poor start to the season for a side who spent a lot of money in the off-season. Any Shamrock Rovers fans, any thoughts on tonight's game ahead of a trip to Drumcondra here on Monday? We have a couple of requests coming in already, so I'm going to start with Paul O'Toole. Paul, if I can get you in there, who I believe would have been watching Waterford versus Bohemians, if I'm not mistaken. Paul, how are you getting on?
How are you doing, lads?
What are you doing, Paul?
Were you at a game, Paul? Were you watching a game from home?
Yeah, I was just back from the RSC there now, lads, yeah. Game of two halves. Bows completely dominated the first half. Could have been 3 or 4 up. Waterford made a triple sub at halftime, changed the shape to a back three. And we're unlucky not to get a point in the end. We're very good in the second half, Waterford.
Yeah, but like, I I've obviously only seen the result of this game. Shane, I presume you're the same, but watching Shamrock Rovers versus Derry City, when I saw the team sheets when they came out, I thought Waterford, look, there might be something in this for them. When I saw the original lineup with Dale Rooney in left back, Sam Todd dropped, Pat Hickey and Jordan Flores in centre half. You said Waterford had a good second half. How did the game start? Because I saw Sam Todd's goal. Obviously, he came into the lineup late, and look, Waterford probably disappointed watching that back, the space that he had in the box and allowing himself to get the header in. How did Waterford start the game?
Very poorly, to be honest. As I said there, Bows were completely dominant for the first half. It was actually quite stop-start. There was 3 separate kind of head injuries, so there ended up being 8 minutes at a time, so there was quite stop start, but when the ball was in play, it was just all Bows. Colin Whelan missed a couple of chances, and like Waterford couldn't get out of their own half, so it was all one way traffic. But in fairness to John Daly, it's something that we've been kind of crying out for. He changed from the 4-4-2 that he's been using at half time, made 3 subs, and it made a big difference. Waterford pinned Bows back in the second half for about 20 minutes, and Bows actually ended up having to change their shape to a back three to match up to kind of get a foothold in the game. Waterford, like, they pinned them in, but they didn't really create that much. Like, a lot of pressure, a lot of corners and stuff without really kind of testing the goalkeeper. But much better second half, but unfortunately it's only 1 point from 5 matches now for Waterford.
Yeah, it's not a great start. And obviously, your fellow Waterford man in the dugout for the opposition, if we have any Bows fans who are listening, we'd love to get you on with Paul to get maybe the alternative take. But from Waterford, as you said there, but the points total so far, and there's been a couple of games like last week where really you kind of let it slip away from you. You probably arguably should have been 3-0 up last week at home to Derry. You said he switched formation in the middle of the game, and we know obviously he's been playing that 4-4-2, which obviously, you want to get Tommy Lonergan and Paul Jammond up top together, but it's kind of they've not really found as much service probably as they would have liked. Did that change when the formation changed? Is that something we could probably see now from Waterford going forward? Do you think John Daly saw enough in that second half?
Well, I don't think that there's enough balance in the team. If you play Amond and Lonergan up front, I know that we want to get them both in the team, but then also, we're trying to get Conan Noonan into the team, and we're playing him in central midfield in a 4-4-2. So I think if you want to get the three of them in and get a bit of balance in the team, I think you nearly have to play a back three. Unfortunately for Waterford now tonight, after stumbling across something, the big kind of negative of tonight was that John Mann was stretchered off in injury time, which what looked like a bad injury. I know he's had a bad knee injury, I think, before. So that's a big loss for Waterford. He's had a good start to the season. So that might hamper our kind of plans to play a back three. But I just think that if you want to get Amund, Lonergan and Noonan into the team, I don't think you can play 4-4-2. Amund was taken off after an hour tonight, which is very, very... Well, it's unheard of, really, this is third year in Waterford. He's nearly played every minute. Now, I know he can't go on forever, but it is unusual to see him taken off after an hour, especially when we are needing a goal.
Yeah, listen, Ben, I think Paul has absolutely hit the nail on the head in terms of the dilemma that Waterford have in having two guys who are out-and-out nines in Podge and Tommy Lonergan. And then, as you say, in Noonan, you're probably looking at somebody who's possibly more of a 10 than he is an 8 or a 6, and yet you're asking him to play in a centre midfield pairing. So, again, Paul's report literally ties in. Such is the loyal off the ball man that I am, Ben. I actually watched Rovers and Derry with the LOI TV volume down, and with Vinny Steve on commentary instead, and they were actually getting texts in from friend of the show, Johnny Dunleavy, who was down in the RSC watching the game down there. So they were giving a few updates based on Johnny's texts, and Johnny texts at half time and says, all one way traffic here, boys, have been fantastic. And then exactly in line with Paul said, about 15-20 minutes into the second half, they read out a text from Johnny again saying that Waterford had gone to a back three and it had transformed the game, and that Waterford were very, very much in the insurgency, and he could see them getting something from the game. So look, hopefully that could be the tactical tweak that they need. Look, my last gig as Cobh Ramblers manager, I was a big fan of that system myself, where you'd either go 3-4-2-1 or 3-4-1-2. And I think that idea of 3-4-1-2 with Noonan as the one behind the two of Amund and Lonergan could definitely be worth a look and worth a try. I wasn't aware of the John Mahon injury. That is a worry for them. As Paul has said, he has an injury record there that would make you a little bit concerned. But I believe he has been very, very good for them so far this season. Like, he's, you know, it's only a couple of years ago since he was probably the hottest prospect as a centre-half, nearly coming through in the league, and he seems to have rediscovered that form. So it'll be really bad timing and a big blow for him if he is out for any sort of prolonged period.
Yeah, Johnny Dunleavy, it's funny you were saying there about Paul's kind of echoing what Johnny Dunleavy was saying, and Johnny's excellent footballing brain, and he was actually saying, commenting on that during the week when he was on with us, and he said, he just can't see a way forward for Waterford if they don't switch that system. There's just no creativeness outside of it and getting the ball up to the two lads up top. And then Conan Noonan was really the big focus point of his argument. And from what you said there, Paul, as well, like, I completely agree with you. What we saw from Noonan last season, he needs to be played in the position where he's most comfortable in, and you can get the best creativity out of him.
Absolutely. And I suppose, just again, this is going to be an ongoing issue. Like, that's maybe a little bit of a gripe with the fans, that, like, we knew this at the start of the season. Like, Heath Long and however many other managers we had last season, like John Cullum and Matt Lawler, we've been using this 3-4-1-2 in order to get the three lads into the team. But just with the makeup of the squad again this year, like, we've struggled to get defenders in. We've signed another couple of players on deadline day from England that haven't come over yet, from Fleetwood. So we'd be hoping to have them back for next week now that John Mann has gone down. But it is just a little bit frustrating that it's taken 4.5 games of playing Conan Noonan right wing, playing him centre midfield, playing Conor Carty left wing. Like, it just doesn't seem like we've been ready for the start of the season, and the same problems are still happening, which is just, it just is a little bit frustrating that way, because we were hoping that we might have had something going this year that maybe we'd made up for previous mistakes. We just haven't been prepared. We've been playing Luke Heaney right back. He got into central midfield now today after the changes. But I just do think that is the way to get the three lads into the team. But again, as I said, with Mann going down now, we don't have three centre backs at the moment. Until the lads come over from Fleetwood, but they're not up to match speed by all accounts. So it will be interesting to see what happens next week, because we have two hard away games now between Dundalk and Galway. So we need to start getting some points on the board while we're trying to figure it out.
And that's a 3-day weekend or 3-day turnaround weekend next weekend, isn't it? Am I right in saying we have
yeah.
a Friday night games and around the Monday night
Absolutely,
game.
Yeah. The Monday just before Paddy's Day. That Galway game is huge. I think we probably already knew that before going into the season. The Dundalk one as well. Like, would you have any confidence going into those sort of games, Paul? Because from what I've seen little bits of Waterford this season. I haven't actually got to go to a game on a Friday night with them involved yet. I've been positioned elsewhere. But from what I've seen of Dundalk and from what I've seen of Galway United, they look to be offering a lot more than from what you hear out of Waterford.
Yeah, it's hard to be overly confident with it, to be honest, Ben. But the glimpses, like second half against Shelburne and second half tonight, like we do show glimpses. And one thing that we normally do is we do have firepower to score goals, which is our main thing. But I just don't know if we have that kind of doggedness like Galway always do. And even Dundalk are coming up and showing. Like last week, to go 2-0 up at the Brandywell, we kind of caved in, like, once any pressure came on us. I don't know if we have that doggedness to really go at it that way and dig out a result. Like, these next couple of games, when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, yeah, we might score a goal, but can we go and keep a clean sheet and dig out a win? I'm not too sure. And that's kind of been the issue the last couple of years with Waterford. It's the conceding goals is the problem. Like, we will get goals. Amund, Lonergan, Noonan, we will score goals. But that doggedness to go away from home, dig out a point, get 3 points maybe when you're not playing well. I'm just a little bit unsure. And I think that's the reason why we'll end up down around it again.
Paul, can I ask you very quickly before we let you go? Because we, for once, haven't got any Bows fans requesting to join in, which is quite an unusual for us to see. Very quickly, on the away side, were you impressed with them today?
I was very impressed with them in the first half. I thought they were real, real front-footed. You could see that they kind of came down and wanted to keep the tempo high and were really going after it. They deserved to be further in front in the first half. As I said, it got a little bit bitty then. I do think they got a little bit kind of taken aback when they came out at half-time with the change of formation. I think Rennie and Stevie O'Donnell were kind of trying to figure out what to do for the first 15, 20 minutes. Then they brought on Diallo. I think it's Mullen, the left wing back. They made a few changes to try counteract Waterford and kind of, they saw it out comfortably enough in the end. I'm impressed with their recruitment. Like, even Dara Power, who used to be at Waterford, is a solid signing there right back. I think they have a bit more strength in depth now as well. Hickey is outstanding at centre back that they got from Galway. I'm surprised that they're playing him back there. He played forward up the pitch for Galway, but maybe there's something in his background there with his height and stuff. But I think they are a little bit more solid than they were last year and a bit more strength and depth maybe as well off the bench.
Paul, thanks a million for hopping on tonight. I wish you the best of luck with that doubleheader next week.
No hassle, lad. Sound, thanks.
I had said we hadn't had any Bows fans joining, and then just like Dublin buses, they all come at once. So I've Camo in here, and I've Ben Madigan in here as well.
How's it going, lads?
That's how he's getting on.
We're on the top of the league, looking down on the lads, it's a fun way of life, get ready for the challenge, it's at the top of the league. Get up, yes, cunts!
Shane, I have somehow managed to add two fellas in who seem to be with each other on the way home from
Waterford. No, I'm not with him. Camo's not with him.
lads.
Steve Doyle is the GOAT.
Lads, from what it sounds
wait,
like...
Hey, top of the league. Say, wait, yeah, top of the league. Wait, hey, top of the league. Say, wait, yeah, top of the league.
Here, let me answer a few questions, right?
Yeah, Camo's
ben,
on
get off this.
Lads.
Come on, Camo.
Lads, you're on the way back from Waterford, I presume. What did you make of that result there tonight? The dogginess to probably grind out a 1-0 win.
I tell you, we're going to win the fucking lot. Hand it over.
Right.
Best of luck keeping order on this one.
Lads.
We were exceptional the first half, but I have to say to Waterford, they came back in the second half, but they just couldn't finish that dinner.
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad Sam Todd, for your sake, can finish his dinner and send you all home happy.
Oh, Sammy Todd and Patrick Hickey. Oh, Sammy Todd and Patrick Hickey.
Oh. I tell you what, Shane, you ask for Bulls fans and you get Bulls fans.
That was you poked the bear there, so you did, and the bear replied fairly quickly. Bear played, dead right.
Look, I tell you what, from the struggles and the despair that Bulls have had over the last couple of seasons, they're a fan base that probably deserve this.
Absolutely fantastic start to the year for them, Ben. Really, really fantastic. I mean, 13 points from 15 and already a bit of a gap opening up between, say, them and Derry, them and Shells. I know it's very early days, but you'd rather be on the right side of that equation this early on the wrong side. And look, they've shown, obviously, in some games where they've been just in top form and blowing the opposition out of the water. This appears to have been a slightly different one, where it was maybe back to the wall a little bit in the second half and have to win it a different way. But again, I think that's a real positive sign for them, that they've picked up points using a couple of different approaches and methods so far. They've rode out a few injuries that, you know, we could have thought could have easily derailed them. You know, a couple of important players getting lost here and there, and still they seem to, even though at times it looks a little bit like they're square pegs and round holes a small bit, they still seem to be able to do it and come out the right side of it. So listen, they're going to be absolutely delighted with the start to the season that they've had, and you really start have to factor them into the conversation of proper title contenders the more this goes on with them.
100%, Shane, I completely agree with you. There's a voice who we usually get on here every week, and I had wondered why he hadn't popped up until a couple of minutes ago. Our resident Shelburne fan, Shane Kennedy, is on the line if we have him there. Shane, how are you?
Yeah, I was pressing that button. I actually looked to listen to that Waterford lad there, someone else on, but tonight I really wanted to come on, just with the game being on telly. So I don't know if you spoke about it, but Shane, watching the match.
Ben was at it. I didn't see it. I was watching Rovers.
I was hoping you were going to watch it, and you could actually hear what you thought of it. But anyway, yeah.
Go on, fill us in. You must be sick.
I don't know, Ben. What did you think? Did you say you were out of there?
I was sitting in the press box. To be honest with you, Shane, I was in the middle of writing up my final report, and I was kind of saying neither side can be complaining too much about a 2-2 draw. I thought if anyone had the better chances, Shells probably did. I thought Sean Boyd's in the first half was really poor, to allow Sean Hart to get back and get the block in before the effort. Like, if you look at the past goals, everything has came from a James Brown delivery into the box, which is really poor from Shells. From Pat's perspective, the James Brown signing could be one that we look back on in a couple of months and go, that was the moment and that was the point. Because we looked at Stephen Kenny's team in that back five on the opening day against Bohemians and the second week as well, and probably thought, Jesus, they're really not up to it. But that signing of James Brown has just transformed them, both in shape in that back five, but also then the set piece delivery. Every single ball and Shales couldn't deal with the deliveries into the box. I thought the defending for Edmondson second was quite poor, to allow the flick on originally and then Edmondson at the back post again. But look, the only thing you have to come out of that and look at is going, Shells were without Paddy Barrett, they were out Oran Casey. James Roach was playing in right back, Sean Gannon was playing in centre half with Sam Bone. So you have an unorthodox centre half in there.
This is the benefit of coming on going so often that you come on and you say, I was here a few weeks ago and I said, kind of centre halves, or maybe back into last season, or the start of the season, I hope we don't see full back centre halves. Mm. And tonight you've got Edwards, Gannon, two full backs naturally as centre halves. You've got Jarvis as left wing back, and you've got an 18-year-old as right wing back. So we only had one like proper leader at the back. Like, and then we bring Ali Cute on as left wing back and Dickie as right wing. So
And you know what I thought as well, Shane? I thought it was a bit strange because we're so used to seeing that Joey O'Brien side with the nailed on back three, back five wing backs. And I thought at times today it wasn't. There was no set shape. There was no set structure. Sometimes it looked like a back four and they didn't really know if they were in a back four or not.
The problem is Will Jarvis has no interest in defending. So we had James Roach, who didn't want to cross the halfway line. I mean, Will Jarvis on the other side, who didn't want to defend, like, so that, like, where you probably looked like that, but it was definitely a back three. I just thought we were very poor, and well, Pat's dominated the ball, even at 2-0, they never really created anything. And we only kind of got going at 2-0, kind of 2-0 down. But yeah, look, it's going to be a long few weeks for us coming up. Our fixtures are trying to play Monday, Friday. But I think now we just have to go and play the game that's in front of us and we need 3 points. The results against Waterford and Galway have now put us in a position where we can't afford to not be winning like two of the next four matches. We've lost one tonight. Like, I just thought we were really poor.
Yeah, I thought Shell started the game quite well and I thought Pat's really struggled get a foothold. It's funny, you forget how much of a big loss Jamie Lennon is for Pats, and Darren Newton kind of played in that deeper role, and it's not something that we maybe have seen that much from him, and he's also new into the team in general, and I thought Chelsea could take a little bit more advantage of that. I know he got dispossessed a couple of times in the first half, like that Sean Boyd chance that I mentioned earlier, but I thought really Chelsea probably should have got a goal in the first half.
I think Barry Wood, for me, he's a different player this year than at the back end of last year, but he's too rigid. He only got going when he went 2-0 down and he had the freedom. I would have played him beside Boydie and not have had him in the kind of... I think he actually did play in the 10 at the start, but we just couldn't get a foothold in midfield. So then we switched it and he went out to the right of the tree. But for me, he should be just given a completely free role and let him do like a Ross Tierney for Bowes. Just let him go, because the two lads from Sweden and Portugal, they just don't look... Your man for the third goal is trying to counter and trying to go boy, whoever it was, and it was terrible.
Yeah, that was really poor. And for those who didn't watch Lundgren, I don't really know what he's trying to do. He's trying to play his way out from the back with his back to goal. And he initially
created a bit of space to lay the ball off. Like, he couldn't just pass straight away. But then he tries to run him.
Yeah.
And he loses it. Yeah, it's poor. I thought we were poor. Look, you can't... Only thing about recently there, the European, I don't know what Hover's injury list is like, but maybe the European fixtures are catching up on us outside of Ardy Casey, who you can't blame on that one. But we've got...
The defending for the winner as well. I'm just looking at it here. I'm not sure who he outjumps. I'm trying to see. He comes around the back of Dickey and then outjumps somebody on the edge. But I'm just watching it here. Do you set up zonally when defending corners? Because there doesn't seem to be any man marking. He seems to have a completely...
You can set up zonally, but I think Pats went a bit more like Arsenal tonight, but looks at their corners. And I think... I vaguely remember seeing Sean Hoare make a decoy run and that kind of pulled a few players apart, and then he came from back post into the middle of the 6-yard box.
I think
Sean Hoare made a darn run is what I can remember, which kind of attracts a few players though. But we have at that point Ali Cute on, we'd Lundgren on, we've got Gannon, we've Dickey, we've no natural centre halves. Like, I would have settled for a 2-2 draw, being 2-0 down. But when you take Will Jarvis off and you bring on Ali Cute, I was like, that's a left wing back for a left wing back slot. I was like, oh, I don't know about this. And I probably would have brought on the Italian fella just to shore up the 2-2 draw. Like, given our injuries, like, it's probably a good point. But we went for it and backward.
Yeah, to be honest, Shane, I thought when after he got the equaliser, I thought the momentum swing in the whole stadium I thought you really probably should have got on and got one. And I thought, to be honest, I thought you were going to get one. And I thought Pat looked happy to settle for the point after that second goal. And they like, I know after the first goal, Mata and Breslin comes on, and that kind of probably throws them when the second one comes in and Caffrey gets that little pocket of space in the edge of the box, which he probably doesn't get. I thought Pat's also, I thought you really didn't capitalise on the fact that Pat's had no other central midfielders. So Nugent and Bagley were pretty much huffed by the 80th minute. And I didn't think Shales capitalised it on it really properly. I thought there was a real chance to overload the midfield and outrun them in the last kind of 10 minutes with a few fresh legs. But it wasn't to be.
It looked a bit just off the cuff stuff, didn't it? It looked like it was just Dickie, I think, pulled it back from Aaron. That was probably the chance to go and win it. Or John Gannon, I think, pulled it back for John Martin. But I just thought overall we were very poor. And
What are you putting Will Jarvis's disappointing form down to? You would have.
Yeah, he's not a left wing back in a million years. We had Lundgren there. And they're quite similar players, and Will Jarvis would play left wing back for me. And it's not working. He's too deep when he gets the ball, and he has no interest in defending. And it's also a attacker there from, you know, you take off Ali Q or you bring on Ali Q, but he's just not picking the ball up in the right areas, I don't think. He's playing left wing back.
Yeah. He really didn't put a stamp in the game the way
he didn't do anything.
Yeah, that we got so used to seeing it from Will Jarvis the first time, and I agree with you, to be honest. I that position, it does. He's almost caught in two minds where he doesn't want to track back, but also it's like he's been drilled into him that you have to kind of be tracking back somewhat. So he gives a half-hearted effort, and then he's not there when they go forward in the positions where he should be and where we're used to seeing them. For me, the big issue is the defensive issue, and if one of Barrett or Casey, and now you've both of them out at the moment, aren't there, I really worry for you going forward.
Yeah, it's too, well, yeah, I do agree. The set piece is a defensive issue. But again, whether it was nil-all, we didn't really create a whole lot, did we? So you've got an issue at the back for me, which we can't seem to keep tight. And then we're not creating. This League of Ireland stats that you see online, I don't know if he's aware of it, but a blocked shot counts as a shot, and all these mad shots count the shots these days on LOI stats. It's mental. We don't create anything really, like. So we're not creating a whole lot going forward, and we're conceding goals at the back. So I don't know. And we've about 25 injuries.
Just your look as well, Shane. Edmondson got a chance from a volley last week with no goalkeeper even in the fucking goal, and he managed to completely miss the ball. He turns around this week and smacks the top class volley.
Yeah, and look, just touching on the league as well, yeah, that's it. You probably have to say fair play to Bowles and their signings. They've gone out and signed lads that can defend the box, and if they keep their... We won the league. This is the thing for the league as a whole. When we won the league, we could never have won the league, but we got no injuries. Got very, very few injuries. And you need a bit of luck to go and do it. So, look, even Pat's could go on a run as well for me with... They've no Europe, they've no Monday, Friday matches, not really part of the normal league fixtures, but you've got two extra ones there for Europe. They can just play the same players, I think. And where we're playing tonight, Friday, you've got Monday, you're Friday, Monday next week. So yeah, if anyone else keeps that team fit, they should be all right though.
Shane, before I let you go, can we talk about Monday briefly? Because that's a huge game. I'll be there again for Off the Ball. Have you got any confidence at all going into that?
Look, I was only saying this earlier on, walking into the ground. I'm fully aware of the injuries we have, but given the crappy teams that we've seen in Shells over the past 25 years, it's a bit wrong for me to go into games now. Not optimistic, but I am aware of the injuries that we have, and like, there's no denying it. Like, it's, yeah, I wouldn't be too confident. But also we do need to go get a point and probably get a win if we are to kick on. But no, I have to be honest, no.
And then it's not just this Monday, like their next three games are Monday night. Shamrock Rovers, Friday night Derry, and Monday night Bohemians.
Yeah, just to rattle off fourth team, like, no excuses, and God, I'm not coming on here crying. We've got Mbeng is a right wing back. You've Chuka as a left wing back. You've got Paddy Barrett, who was the centre half, who was there last year. Casey is unlucky because he's only new. You've got Meepo. So that's five. Yeah. What, five of your first 11 out, like.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not, it's, again, it's not an excuse. You've Jack Henry Francis, who I will put in the injury prone category, similar to the Taylor, as he, I don't know, he came with an injury, but he is there, but also was injured before it. So you can't really count him in the same bracket. But Mbeng and Chuck and Barry and Meepo, they're all out, like, they're massive players, like, so I am aware, but...
I'm sorry, what was Jack Henry Francis' story tonight? He was on new sub, was he?
No, he wasn't. He missed out on Drogheda on last week. He didn't play. So he's injured again. But again, I'm not putting him in the Meepo category or the Mbeng because seems to be always injured. So similar to Taylor or Aidan Cameron.
Yeah,
I don't put him in.
The only thing is he was listening on the bench tonight. And he was and he was down warming up in front of us. And when McEnroy went off injured tonight, and that was a huge blow to the midfield, and it completely actually switched the dynamic in favour of Pat's midfield, I thought, when McEnroy went off.
Yeah.
But I was surprised that his chance didn't come on then, because he was out warming up.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's injured. Yeah. He didn't play last Friday, so you're not going to bring on someone that's half fit. I mean, you've got Caffrey to come on. Like, you're not going to risk him. You've another game Monday. You're not going to risk him. It's what I'm saying to you. So you have to kind of think logically there. And he's only on the bench to make up the numbers. He was never coming on to me.
Yeah, I just thought because he was out warming up. I thought, look, if he's fitting up,
yeah,
he's
going to warm him up. The injuries are, they're big. But fair play. And looks like it's going to be a long season. And you've got Bowes and Rovers now kicking on with Pats. I don't know if there's any Derry fans on. The James McLean play sent them in midfield tonight, lads.
Yep, he did indeed.
Terrible. It's awful, isn't it? What's going on? I said it on something in my mind now, but I said it at the start of the season. I don't know if there's any Derry fans waiting, but the idea that he could play centre midfield in our league, having never played there in his life, would have been laughable to the league, I think. It's good to see that it's failing, because if a player who, we like McLean for what he's done, but if a player who just got the head down and ran down the wing can come into our league and play centre midfield, it would have been a bit of an embarrassment. So it's good to see that's not working for him.
Shane, thanks a million for hopping on tonight.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Shane asked, do we have any Derry City or Shamrock Rovers fans waiting? We don't, unfortunately, but we do have the next best thing. We have someone who was at the stadium as a commentator. Our very own Stephen Doyle has requested to speak. Steve-o, are you there? And he's left. Shane.
You didn't like your intro.
That's twice now that I've picked up someone and I've been let down by both Bowes. And now
he's in again. Try him there again.
Steve-o, do we have you in? Steve-o, that was very poor. I gave you the big setup and then you let me down like that.
My apologies. Bit of a technical issue on my end.
You're all good. Well, come here. How was Tallaght Stadium tonight?
Yeah, look, I'll only jump on quickly because it is essentially a fans forum, isn't it? So you don't want to be listening to me blathering on for too long. But yeah, no, it was... Derry City didn't really get out of the blocks tonight at all. I thought they were very poor right across the team. There wasn't really anybody I think comes out with too much credit. Ben Doherty maybe did an okay job at left back. Whether he decides to hang around sitting on the bench kicking his heels with Brandon Fleming, who was injured tonight. So I was speaking to Tiernan Lynch after the game. He wasn't too specific about Winchester and the return of Winchester and of Brandon Fleming or Darren Markey. So they've obviously got their injury problems, but they were just really there was no intensity to Derry City's play. And look, Shamrock Rovers just came out of the blocks firing. There was a big response from them after that defeat to Bohemians last week. They played with a real intensity from the start. Good performance right across the park. Alan Brennan was obviously really good. He won the penalty for Shamrock Rovers, which culminated in the winner score by Dylan Watts from the spot. I thought Sabo Ali looked good in parts. He was in a bit of a Pep Guardiola style coaching session with Stephen Bradley just after the full-time whistle. I asked Bradley about that. He was just saying, look, he had some good parts to his game, but there's other bits he needs to learn, and that's why he's here at Rovers, that, you know, he just needs to improve certain areas of the game, and he spoke to him about that. But I thought Matt Healy was good. He was, you know, doing his usual thing of kind of sitting deep and stroking the ball around the pitch. But I thought the star man for Rovers tonight was Jack Byrne. You know, I said to Vinnie Perth on our commentary, look, he's a man coming into this Rovers season with a point to prove. It was just his second start to the season, and he was really, really good. It was the usual Jack Byrne stuff, you know, just some lovely, clever play, getting himself into good positions, spraying the ball left, right and centre. He worked a really good chance for Graham Burke with a great reverse pass into the box in the first half. Burke hit it straight at the goalkeeper. It really should have been their first goal. But right across the game, I thought Jack Byrne was absolutely brilliant. But yeah, it was interesting as well. I asked Bradley about Brennan, and he said, look, he's been fantastic. But he said, actually, Mikey Duffy came up to me after the full-time whistle and said, geez, you've got a real player on your hands there. So as Stephen Bradley said, if you've got a player the quality of Michael Duffy, giving praise to a young Adam Brennan like that, you know, he's got something about him.
Yeah, listen, they're different animals, Stephen, aren't they? They're a different animal when Jack is in team and he's pouring like that. I think that's his first start, is it?
He started against
second
the dog.
Second start. Yeah, dog as well, yeah.
Which he was very impressive in as well, to be honest.
And Joe, something as well, lads, because I thought Pico Lopez, as we saw in the President's Cup, and look, Stephen Bradley kind of shrugged off the President's Cup bench. He was, look, that was like our 19th training session of pre-season. But listen, he got done a couple of times by Josh Thomas in that game, and I felt he had a point to prove based on that, and he was great as well at the back. He made one particular spectacular diving-headed clearance in the box, and he made a couple of really good other contributions. But it was definitely a lot better for Rovers, but there's still a lot of improvement for them needed. They're still not up there. As we know, they're a bit behind everybody else with regards to pre-season and that kind of thing. But I think Stephen Bradley will just be happy with the clean sheet, and also at the fact that they got the 3 points in a game that would have been regarded as a tough fixture for them. Just actually to carry on from the previous caller, James McLean, I have to say, lads, really anonymous there tonight. He really didn't contribute much in central midfield for Derry City. Put in a couple of hard tackles, but as regards his on the ball, nothing there whatsoever.
Steve, can I ask you about that? Because you mentioned there about the intensity, and there was no intensity from Derry City. Is that what it stems from? Like not having a central midfielder in central midfield, technically?
Yeah, possibly. Possibly, yeah. He was in there with Adam O'Reilly tonight. I thought Adam O'Reilly, actually, he was okay. He wasn't too bad. Put himself about a bit, made a couple of good tackles and got on the ball. But the thing was, it seemed that every time Derry City got possession, even in their own half, there was no out ball for them. They couldn't get, like, you had Gavin White playing on the right-hand side. He was poor tonight. And then you had Josh Thomas. And because Josh Thomas isn't really a central centre-forward, he likes to get into the channels, they just couldn't seem to get the ball up and to make it stick. Ed McGinty had such a quiet night. There was nothing for him tonight. And then, of course, you're looking for Mikey Duffy to be the out ball, but Rovers did a great job on him. And Bradley, I asked him about that afterwards. He even said, look, yeah, you got to show a player like him respect. And of course, we had a plan for him. And it really consisted of Dan Cleary and Saba Wiley with help the odd time from Victor Ozyambuna, just making sure that Duffy didn't have any space to get into, because they kept him really, really quiet. But yeah, you probably hit on something there, Ben. You definitely, there's no, you know, presence there from James McLean in that central midfield position. And I think it's an issue for Tiernan Lynch, because he wants to have McLean in the team, but I don't think centre mid is the position for him.
Yeah, definitely not by the sounds of it. Steve-O, thanks for having on briefly. I'll see you next week.
Cheers, lads. Bye-bye.
Shane, before we get in our next caller, because I can see that we've got Keane waiting to speak about the big Cork derby, obviously your old club. Just a word very briefly, because I know we've had no Pats fans on tonight. Ryan Edmondson's first goal, my word. The technique to hit that, especially after, like you said, I was in Richmond last Friday and he had a similar chance and he absolutely scuffed it.
Fresh air to go from a fresh air swing with a goalkeeper stranded and about 10 yards out. to an absolutely fantastic strike tonight in much more difficult circumstances. As a brilliant connection, absolutely brilliant connection. But he's been good. Look, he's taken a little bit of heat because of incidents like that kind of fresh air swing, and because of the chance missed the previous week where he hits the post when he probably should have scored. But I like him. I like him. He's game. He keeps coming back and keeps coming back. And two goals tonight will have done his confidence the absolute world of good. And listen, 9 points in 8 days. You know, it's been a brilliant week, Ben, for them. It really, really has. And you know, I said it a couple of weeks ago that I didn't think they needed to be overdue. There seemed to be a ridiculously disproportionate amount of negativity around the club on the back of that Bowes game. And yeah, I know they weren't wonderful against Bowes, but I didn't think they were, you know, really bad either. And then the Rovers won. I thought they were decent in that one as well. And I know they've only come away with 1 point from the two of them, but I thought there was signs there of a pattern and of a team that could gel. And look, they go on that run then, and it just, you know, it puts a completely different complexion on things now. And I'd say that you were surrounded by them. I'd say Pats fans absolutely bounced out of Richmond this evening.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, it was in Talca, so they'll be feeling good. They'll be feeling good. James Brown has left them feeling good, travelling back across the...
Yeah, his deliveries as well, it's worth pointing out, you know, Jesus. Absolutely top class, aren't they? So difficult to deal with.
Yeah, he makes a huge difference. And I spoke to Kenny last Friday, and he used a great word, called him a raider, going up and down the right-hand side, which is what he is. And an absolutely superb signing. And Mata with a goal off the bench, his first goal. And Keane comes off the bench as well. It's looking good for the Saints going forward. We have Keane in here from Cork City. We have Shane Keegan, former Cove Ramblers manager. Finished in a draw tonight, lads, so there'll be no fights here tonight, unfortunately. Keane, how was that game tonight down in Cork?
Absolutely awful. The worst. And like the pitch didn't help it. Them pitches are a disgrace, and yeah, they shouldn't be allowed. Declan Toland shouldn't be left near a football match ever again in his life, because it was just a terrible game, and he never gave it a chance to flow on top of it being a terrible game. And he gave out 8 yellow cards in a game that didn't have one dirty foul. it was stop start the whole night long, on top of just being a terrible game as it was on top of that. Like,
it's amazing, Ben, the different perspectives you get on a game from people on different sides of the argument depending on the result they got. I got a text in the last 20 minutes from a friend of mine down there who's, I'll read it out here. He said, good derby game, proper battle, a point fair enough in the end. City were disappointing. Keane Coleman, excellent tonight. That was the Cove angle. Your angle is a very different one, Keane, in fairness.
From the Cove angle, like, to us, it's not, like, let's be real, it's not a derby. Like, it's irrelevant to us. Like, we shouldn't be down there. This whole season is just, we shouldn't be down there. Playing Cove is never a derby to Cork City. Like, it's just, they're just a club we send the players we don't want anymore. Like,
That's what they always say, Shane, isn't it? And then they find themselves drawn with them.
But yeah, we'll be promoted in July or August, like, so it won't really matter. Like, they'll be still in the first division for another 20 years or whatever. Like,
so what went? Considering I would have thought you would have won that one tonight.
I thought we'd won a 4 or 5 nil. To be honest, yeah.
Well, listen,
When we went 1-0 up, I think it just, players just decided, it just looked like it was a case of our 1-0 up, and it did look for a while, just no matter what Cove done, they couldn't score. So I think coming out in the second half, our players just looked like, our 1-0 up, it's grand, we'll win 1-0. And then we give away a stupid penalty, but yeah.
Keane, can I ask you, Johnny McGuire's on the score sheet again tonight, and he's 4 now in 4 games. Like, being realistic, within the bounds of this hurt, what can he actually get to this season, goals wise?
Oh, I'd imagine surely he'll hit 30, including all, like, you might go too far in the cup, but even though we thought he wouldn't last either, but I'd say 30 easily, because he hasn't hit for him yet. That's the scary thing.
Yeah,
and then helping Rory Keating, they're still getting there with their partnership. So once they get there, I think it'll be a lot. And I think, you've young Killian Murphy there, who looks an absolute star. Like, he's starting to come along. You've Matthew Murray still to come back. I don't know what's going on there, but he can't seem to get a look in. But if you them attacking options, giving balls into Shawnee and Rory, it should be, I think he'll hit 30. Like,
it's funny looking at the Cork City team here, like you say there about Seanan McGuire and Rory Keating not getting gelled yet together. Like, the team on paper looks so, so strong for the first division. A lot of them actually, like if, when you're looking at the team, you have a good 6 to 8 players who were in that team in the Premier Division last season. Like, you're probably right. You should be back up by the end of August type of thing. But if results like tonight happen consistently across the board, it'll give other teams a lot of confidence.
Yeah, but we'll go up regardless. But I think I said to yourselves at the end of this last season, it doesn't matter whether how early we go up. We can't go up with the squad we went down with. I'd only keep probably 4, maybe 5 of them. Like, it doesn't matter. They won't keep us up in the Premier Division. And could I just, as you're mentioning Seanan McGuire there, can I just call out the absolute audacity of Stephen Bradley and his 30,000 and cribbing and moaning that Seanan McGuire wouldn't go up to Shamrock Rovers for 30,000. While he was trying to sell a player for $1 million, was it? Or $2 million?
Well, his player was...
he's just an arrogant
his,
man.
His
like.
Player was starring at the Under-17 World Cup, to be fair. Seanan McGuire is a long way off playing in the Under-17 World Cup, as good as he is going forward. Shane, very briefly before we wrap up, just on the derby, as it is, the Cork derby, as we'll call it. Did you ever actually manage in a Cork derby? We're down there.
Munster Senior Cup, I think. I don't think we played in league games, no.
They bought in the playoff, they didn't want to play us.
It would we very nearly won the playoff and would have ended up playing yourselves. I would also like it is a bit of a cheat code. Like, if Seanan McGuire had gone to Shamrock Rovers, he probably would have started this season as favoured to be top goal scorer in the Premier Division. The fact that he is playing in the first division is an absolute cheat code. I will take the opportunity, not to miss an opportunity, Ben. I will take the opportunity to say, last man to hit 30 goals in a first division season was playing for myself 11 years ago. And that was Danny Furlong. Danny's the last man I tell a lie. I'm looking here, scrolling through here. Ronan Coughlin actually got 33 a couple of years ago.
Yeah, for Waterford. I remember that. So that was 33 and 36 or something, wasn't it?
33 and 36. Yeah, to be fair to Danny, Danny's was in a 27-game season. And he scored 30 in 27 games that year. But listen, Sean is probably on course to go and look to top those numbers. You know, ridiculous standard of player to be playing at that level. You've got a ridiculous standard squad to be playing at that level. You will, all piss taken aside, you will absolutely walk to it. And really, as you've kind of hinted at, it's all about, you know, what sort of bricks can they put in place this season better position to not to come straight back down again the following season.
Because I think that the last time we failed to build the squad in July and it killed us, we need to, if we don't build the squad in July, it's going to be the same thing all over again.
Yeah, and you listen, again, like they're too big of a club to be a yo-yo club. Like if I won the lottery this weekend and had a few quid to invest in a League of Ireland club, like, Cork City are the ones who are most underperforming in relation to the potential size of the club, in my eyes. No doubt. Like,
absolutely.
Not a whole lot needs to happen in Cork City for them to be back challenging to be in Europe again.
100%. Like, Shane, I was down there for the FAI Cup semi-final last season. I was at the final as well, which obviously was a different story. But the place was absolutely bouncing for that semi-final, and you just felt like you've been down at Turner's Cross a couple of times during the season, and it never felt like that. And it felt like maybe a heart back to the Cork City team that we saw 10 years ago when they were winning Premier Divisions and winning FAI Cups. And that is where the club should be, and that is where the club need to get back to. Like Keane said, they need to have a long-term plan in place, and they need to go into the summer, this summer, and go, right, we're buying half of our squad for the Premier Division now. We cannot go back up with the team that we came down with. You're exactly right.
There's no point looking for players in October, November, because they have their deals done. They have their contracts signed with whoever they're going to.
Yeah, I agree. Kane.
Thanks, lad.
Thanks, man, for coming on tonight. Unlucky in the Cork derby tonight. So hopefully you get a nice result in the next one. Take care. Shane, I was just looking there. The 2023 Munster Cup, Munster Senior Cup, Cove Ramblers winners. Did you go up against them in that one?
Oh yeah, yeah, it was everyone that night, all right. That was a sweet one, all right. I think, what was that, 2023?
2023, yeah.
I think I could be corrected on this, but I think that was young Cathal O'Sullivan's debut.
Wow.
He definitely played in that game. I don't know had he made a competitive appearance for them before that. I remember coming away grinning from ear to ear, obviously, because we had won the game, which was a nice little coup, even for in a game that isn't, I suppose, the biggest game in the world. But my overriding memory of that night was his performance and thinking, wow, they have got an unbelievable player here. I think he was, about 16 at the time, maybe. And was just, he was fantastic. So he was, but yeah, that was a nice one that night.
You're dead right. I'm looking at it here now. He started and came off for Jay's Cabia, now of Grimsby Town, in the 57th minute. How time flies, eh?
Yep, sounds right.
Shane Keegan, thanks a million for hopping on again tonight with myself.
Super stuff, Ben.
And thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back again, as per usual, next Friday for more League of Ireland Late Night. Take care, folks.
Off the Ball Daily.